Welcome back to the Road of Faith, my friends. My name's Ken Fletcher. I'm so glad you're here today. I think that we're going to have a great seminar today. Good things are coming for you now. So I hope you'll stay with me throughout the seminar and throughout this whole series. Yes, it's a journey, and we're just not doing instant stuff here. It comes out as the Lord wills, as I yield to him. And boy, I tell you what, he's been taking us some wonderful places in the Word. And so many good things are happening, and many more good things are to come. So I just hope that you will stay with us throughout this whole thing. It's really, really good. God is so good to us, isn't he? It's not good because of me. It's good because of him, praise God. And his word is good, and his truth, and his revelation. So this is what we're all about here, and we're wanting to be a blessing to you and help you as you follow the Lord and get it even better than what you've had it so far with him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There's no stopping place with him. It just gets better and better and better. Amen. Well, our main scripture today, as in every seminar in this series, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 that says, if anyone is in Christ, if any person's in Christ, he or she is a new creation, a new creation. All those old things that were before, the new creation taking place, you see, all those things in the new creation, all those old things have passed away. They're gone. And behold, all things have become new. Amen. If any person's in Christ, he or she's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for what you're doing in this seminar today. We just consecrate this time for you and everything that you want to do, not what we want to do. Not what I want to do, but what you want to do here. And we just thank you, Father. We know that you're thinking about the benefit of those that are watching, who have chosen to stay with us, who've chosen to watch this seminar today, and that are here by divine provision. Thank you, Lord God. You have brought us together today. And we thank you, Father, for the things that you're going to do in their heart. The revelations that you're giving them, and through your word, through testimony, through the Spirit of God, bringing forth enlightenment to them. And Lord, we just believe that this is happening in this seminar today. And we thank you, Father, for using me, your servant. I ask you just to help me to get things out the way you want them now. And not another way for their benefit. And we thank you for that today. Thank you for your precious word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to have a great seminar today. Amen. Now, we were in 1 John chapter 5. Wasn't that rich? He that is born of God is a world overcomer. That's who you are. Yes, that's who you are. So if you didn't get that, hadn't watched that one yet, well, then it's available last week. Amen. Still on there. Praise the Lord. Everybody that's born of God is a world overcomer. Praise God. Now, I was involved in telling you my testimony, what took place to me in March 9, 2022. Big turn for me there. big turn. And things have been different ever since in my life. And I know, see, as that happened to me, and I've been a believer for almost 50 years. I was no novice. I've been to Bible school. I've served in churches and for years and years. And ministered in churches for years. I was in the gospel music ministry for many years, and a lot of things. So I mean, you know, we've it's not like we haven't been involved in church and hearing the gospel and and knowing the Lord, and it's not about that at all. But boy, when I turned that corner on March the 9th with the Lord, and I found out later that I initiated it. Now he had always wanted that in my life. What he wanted to happen, that night, I mean, he'd always wanted that with us, him and I, he'd always wanted that, but I was just too distracted I just didn't see it. I just didn't understand so much. Perhaps it comes with maturity. There's things about it that I don't know yet. But there's a lot more about it. I know a lot more than I did back then. I remember telling in that How Long series, I remember telling folks, I said, man, I don't know much of what happened, but I hope to know more by the time the next series come. Well, here we are in the next series, and I do know more than I did then. Praise God. So it's all coming out. But here's the thing. It was so strange and so surprising to me as I laid there in the arms of the Master. Now, you can pick up on this, the first part of this in the last seminar as I began to talk about this. And that was last week. And let's see, that would be part 23. Yeah, this is part 24 today, I think. So go back last week and pick up. Listen to part 24. You want to hear the whole thing. But as I was laying there in the arms of the Master, that night after that great battle, and, he had me in the throne with him, and he just held me like this, you know, had his arms around me like this, you know, and I'm laying there with my head tilted, you know, towards his neck. I could see his neck, and I could see his hair. I could see the embroidery of his collar, the way it went around of his robe, and the material of his robe. I felt that and sensed that. And so somebody said, well, did you go to heaven? Well, I wasn't consciously leave to go to heaven. I didn't sense that at all. I just sensed inside of me that I was there, just inside of me. That's the best way I can describe it. I was still conscious that I was in my body and everything. I was still weak and couldn't do anything hardly, just lay there basically. But I was in his arms, inside, and I saw myself there, and I was there. I was in heaven inside somehow. He had me in his arms, and he held me and was speaking to me, encouraging. He always speaks encouraging things. I mean, man, always. But I mean, then, man, I needed that. Everything he was giving me was just so precious to me. Meant so much to me at that time, after what I'd just been through. And so he had me in his arms in heaven. Now, I was inside, saw all this, but I was in the throne with Jesus, just laying on him, basically just laying on him, weak. And he's, I got you, Ken. He'd say, I got you. I'll keep you here. He said, I'll keep you here as long as you want. He said, I just keep you here as long. Then he said, we're in no hurry. And boy, he did too. A long time I laid there, you know, with him. And, boy, it was wonderful. And, he would speak these, encouraging things to me about that, how that I came through, and that how that I held, kept my confidence, and on. I mean, it's just such a blessing. And I had this thought. I thought to myself, man, this means so much to me, what he's doing here. This means so much. Man, it meant everything to me at that time. Now, friends, I'm telling you, it meant everything to me at that time. And just to be there with him, just to be through that, and to know that and he kept telling me how they were pleased. He and the Father were pleased about what I did in there in that bathroom. And I was just like, to me, I would just hold on to the truth inside. That's kind of, and believing the truth, you know, that's where I was. And that's where I was to me inside. And that nothing, I had nothing else. There was nothing else left than what was in there as far as faith was concerned. There was nothing else left in me physically or any other way. That's what it came right down to, my belief. That's what it came down to. Mm-hmm. And if you're ever in that place like I was in, then what you have put in your life, is what you're going to have inside when you come into a spot like that where there's nothing left physically, materially, naturally. There's no strength left. There's no anything really left except what you have inside, what you have put in there. That is what's going to make the difference to you in a moment like I was in. Well, I came and they were telling me how pleased they were, you know, about that. And I'm like, man, I wasn't trying to please. I wasn't trying to please nobody. You know what I mean? I was hanging on to what I had, basically, you know, hanging on. Just, I ain't letting go of this. This is what I know. This is it. And this is what I have. Praise God. And that thing is what broke it. You see, that's what caused me to come through it in victory. Amen. Well, he's got me in his arms, and I'm thinking, man, I appreciate this so much after that great battle. And I'm so weak and everything, and he's comforting me, and he's telling me these things and encouraging me, and praise God. Man, it felt good. I can't tell you how much it meant. Oh, man, it meant everything. Well, it was that point in time that I thought, I really love him. I really love him. And I really appreciate this, what he's done for me here now. And man, I don't know what it was in me at that point in time. Now later on he showed me some things, but somehow or another during that time when I was laying there in his arms, somewhere in there, I gave him everything. Now what do I mean by that? I mean everything. I mean, there's all is all, folks. All is all. All is all. Some people want to just tithe. Okay, well, that's wonderful that you tithe. Praise God for that. Amen. Because there's blessing involved with giving to God, of course. Some people just want to tithe or tithe and give an offering, you know, whatever. And maybe they can do 20% overall, 10% plus another 10. And praise God for that. Amen. Encourage you to do that. Amen. Praise God. But listen, when you give him all, when he's got all, when he's got everything, that's everything is everything. Everything is all. All is everything. All the money, all the resources, all the future. All the future direction, every direction, everything. I'm endeavoring to do everything the way he wants me to do it, when he wants me to do it. That's what I'm endeavoring to do every day. And why is that? Because I have given everything to him. I mean, everything. My will is now his. I'm not going anywhere he's not going. I'm not going to go do anything that he don't, you know, I don't want to go anywhere he don't want to go. I don't want to be anywhere he don't want me to be. If he wants me in one place and I'm in another place, I'm out of place. I don't want to be there. I want to be where he wants me to be, because I know that what he wants me to do is best for me. I believe that and trust him in that. A lot of people just don't trust the Lord with everything. They just don't trust him with the future, with direction, with many things. They just do things naturally speaking and do things naturally, the way they see things naturally. Amen. So, listen, at that day, that night when I was with him, I gave him everything. Now, when that happened, I was just, man, I just was so relieved, to be in that place with him. And so, just the comfort, the love that I felt, the peace that I had, even though my body was in such bad shape, still weak, and everything, and I was resting. Oh, I just resting in the arms of the Master. It meant everything to me. And I gave him somewhere in that process there. I gave him everything. Was that now? Listen, I know a lot of believers are there. I'm not the only one that did that. And really, we're all supposed to do that, you know. I mean, we're supposed to have it there. Now, I have done that before. Now, I told you in other seminars that I did that before, back before I went to Bible school. I had done that. But somewhere along the way, some years along the way there, you know, I mean, after that, after giving him everything, somehow or another, maybe I wasn't mature enough yet. Maybe I wasn't, I didn't see it. Like I should have seen it, you know, but I did at that time. I really did. With everything that I knew, I gave to him, and that's how I ended up at Bible school and so forth. But I'm just saying that, somewhere along the line, as time went along, I began to take back some of that control and get ahead of him. What I mean by get ahead of him is not do things, by his leading. And at the time that he wants to do something and the way he wants to do something, I got ahead of him and missed him and got off. Well, so I think in the keeping of your will, everything that's in your will, that part of you that's inside, that spiritual, part, which is your soul. That will is in your soul, and that is who you are. That will is predominantly who you are. Okay? Now, there's other parts to your soul and your being. We talked about a lot of these things, but your will is predominantly who you are. Amen. And so it was that will that I gave to him, my will, which was everything. That was everything. All is all. I gave him all that I knew how to give. I just gave him everything, holding nothing back, nothing, absolutely nothing. Okay. Well, you get to that place with the Lord where you have really absolutely given him everything that you know how to give him, past everything that you, every mess up, every achievement, every good thing that you did, every good thing you experienced in life, everything about the past you've given to Jesus to use. Here, Jesus. Everything about the present circumstances, everything about where you are right now. Here, Jesus. This is yours. This is yours. I want to do things your way today, now, the next minute, the following minute. The next 5 minutes, I want to do things your way. Here's the present, Lord. What I'm doing now, I just want you to have that. Not me. It's not mine anymore. It's yours. Yes, it's mine in that I can take it back because I have before when I gave him everything. So it's always yours. Your will is always yours. Okay. But when you decide with your will, and nobody can do that for you. Nobody but you. And he won't coerce you to do that. He won't. He just won't. Because it's something that is voluntary, something that you do of your own volition. Now, I talked in the past about the fact that your will is really all that you have, really. I mean, your spirit is his, your body's his, it belongs to the Father, you see what I'm saying? But he has given you your will exclusively, that part of you is yours. That belongs to you. That will, what you do, what you decide to do, is yours to do as you will. Well, without any, you know, coercing or, you know, anything like that or suggesting, I just wanted to. I mean, you know, he did not lead me that way, you know, at that time to do such a thing. It was something that I wanted to do. I wanted him to have it all. You see what I mean? Because I saw how much he loved me. I saw his provision. I saw so much that I didn't see. And it was that point in time when he did what he did and grabbed me up and held me. I said, oh, I just loved him, appreciate him so much. And I gave him everything. Everything. That means 100%. And I said something about tithing's wonderful, about your money, you know, about that. But listen, what's better than tithing and giving an offering? Thank God for that. What's better than that is giving him 100%. And in other words, making everything available to him, everything materially, everything financially, everything in every way that you give to him without reserve. So that means 100% of the money is his. Now, do I give 100%, you know what I'm saying, of it away? Well, no, of course not. But since all of it's his, since all the money's his, if I've got it there, and it's his, you know, and he calls for it, you see, why am I afraid to give what he calls for? Because I know he's providing for me. Why? Because I give him everything. He's got everything. Father's got everything. He's got everything. Everything that comes into me, everything financially, everything in materially, every provision, you see, comes to me because I have given him 100%. I'm not here trying to make a living. I'm not, you see what I'm saying? Now people say, well, I'm out here trying to make a living. No, you should be doing just doing it because the Lord told you to, you see, and then doing what he tells you to do with the money. Mm-hmm. Maybe he wants you to work somewhere. You maybe not have to, maybe he wants you to work somewhere, for just making you a blessing to some people that work there. And wants to use you to help them to see Jesus, to come to know the Lord. Maybe he wants you to use that money to give it away. Maybe you don't really need to work, but maybe he wants you to use the money that would come from that and just give to somebody that needs it. You see, there's all kinds of things that's involved when you talk about giving yourself 100%. That means 100% of the money. That means 100% of the material things. That means everything. A to Z, top to bottom, side to side. That's everything. If you give him your will, what you're doing is you're saying, here, Lord, I want to do it your way. Everything that I have, everything that I've accumulated or anything like that, any direction you want me to go, anything you want me to do, I want to do that. And I want you to show me, and I want to go your way. That's the way I want to go. That's the way I want to do it. See, that's what's entailed in this thing. It's bigger than just saying, oh, I love you, Jesus, and I give you my life, and you go on kind of do what you think you ought to do. In other words, you're saying here, instead of just going and doing what you want to do, you're saying, dear Lord, direct me what you want me to do. So that, you know what that means? That means you've given him that part. You're giving him the authority, and you're giving him the door. In other words, you're giving him permission in your will. You've already given him your will, so he's got permission to lead you his way. You see that? What if your will is not given to him in that way? Maybe it's partial. You see, you need to check inside. Really, you need to check with him, because he's the one that sees it all. So maybe it's partial what you've been doing with the Lord. Partially your plan, partially something he's wanting you to do. Maybe it's not something he doesn't want you to do at all. The only way you're going to find out is if you give him that will, and then he'll begin to open things up, what he's got for you. You see? See, amen. You initiate that thing. When you give him your will, you're initiating that as something he wants you to do. It'll be for your benefit. I mean, your relationship with him will be so different. I really believe that it will be so different, because it will take on a new depth that it hadn't taken before. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's see here. Okay, I still got a little time left. Let's get into some of these elements that he wanted to bring out in this group of seminars. What happened to me when I gave him my will? What happened? What did I do? And I didn't know. I just sort of slipped into it. It was a desire of my heart, you see, to do what I did. A desire of my heart to do what I did, to give him all of that. And I meant it. Boy, I was full. I was serious, see. You got to be serious. He knows if you're serious or playing games. Are you going to come up there this Sunday or whatever and at the end of the service and give him your life, but you still when you leave out of there and you go back to your regular life, you're kind of doing things the same way without looking for his direction and his way he wants to do something with you? Well, then you haven't given him a complete I guess you can't. You've given him some kind of partial thing there. You see, maybe that's all. I don't know. Maybe this is something. This part of it is. Does it come with maturity when you're able to do that? I think the more mature you are, when I say mature, I mean when you're understanding about your relationship and who you are in the Lord. I think that as you get more understanding, I think you're able to see more things and understand more things, and perhaps that's what it takes in order to get to the place where you can actually give him your will. You see what I mean? Give everything everything you have. Maybe you're not able to do that as a younger believer or someone that's not as mature in understanding and growth. You see, I'm not sure. About that part, I think it does have something to do with it, because your faith level has a lot to do with it. Where you are in faith, what you believe is going on there. See, well, so this is all done by faith. You see, well, I'm doing all this spiritual stuff and giving him everything that I have in my will, but it's by faith we do these things. We do everything by faith in this life. You see. We do everything by faith. So you're believing that you're doing that. However, that night I was just sort of, I wasn't thinking about believing doing it. I just had this desire that I just wanted him to have it. I just gave it to him. You know, I just had this desire deep down in my heart. Praise God. Well, as we go along, he's showing me what happened, what I did. Praise God. And so as we go along here, these are the elements that he showed me. In the next few days, he began to show me these things. And he showed me that there was three things, three main things, three main factors that was working in me, and it will work in you. Those same three factors will work in you too to help you to get to this place of intimacy and a place where you're thought to thought, where you are so close to the Lord. And of course, the giving of the will is, that's the deal, the total part of you, you know. And so there are three things that are very, very important. And there's one other thing, a fourth thing, that is present in all three things. It is synonymous in all three of these areas in our lives that need to be working in order to bring us into this place with the Lord. Now, listen, of course, we're talking about this series being calling Know Thyself. We want to know ourselves. Yes, we do. But we have to know the Lord. We have to know the relationship we have with the Lord in order to know ourselves. You see, if you don't know that this blend that we have with him, and you don't understand this fusion that's gone on when he came into and he came and became one with us. If you don't understand that, well, listen, I know it's difficult to even get your mind wrapped around the concept of it, but a lot of people don't consider these things. And so they don't spend much time at, well, if you don't realize it, don't understand it, you got to come into a place in a maturity level where you are, where you understand you are a spirit, you are a soul, and your will is in your soul. Amen. And these three things are the things. So we're going to begin on that. The first thing is humility. The very first thing is humility. You cannot approach God and expect to get anywhere with him if you're not going to humble yourself. I mean, there's just no way you got to go get anywhere with him. I mean, we'll see as we go along about this thing with humility. It's kind of like the doorway. Excuse me. It's kind of like the doorway to approach God. Because if you coming in there with pride, and you're proud, and there's pride there, and you're not coming with the right kind of attitude and spirit, well, you're wasting your time. You think he's going to listen to you? Or hear you? Come on now. You got to have a little respect. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, there's got to be humility. That's the first thing, and it is, all of the things are important in what we're talking about here. But the humility is the doorway that how you even approach him. Okay? You've got to bring yourself low before the Father. Amen. So humility is like, it's a hard attitude. It's a hard attitude. And so you see that is necessary. And here's the reason why. 1 Peter in chapter 5, we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And here it says here in verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Well, he's talking about a humble spirit. You know, be humble, be changeable. Don't be haughty. Consider the other person better than yourself, you know, and have a true humble spirit, a contrite heart, you see, before other people. Amen. He said, yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. See, that's what he's talking about. Be clothed with humility. Put it on. In other words, it's an attitude that you take. You see, you want to be there. You want to be in that kind of frame of mind. You know, not a proud, not a know-it-all, anything like that. You want to have a humble, teachable spirit, because I used to get tickled at Brother Hagin, and he would, you know, he was a man of few words, you know, Kenneth E. Hagin, my father in the faith. And I get tickled at him because he was very, you couldn't hardly get him to talk about something. He would just sit there and smile. He just wouldn't say much. He just wouldn't have a lot to say. And he was a man of few words, you know, praise God. And so I used to get tickled at him, how he would, when he would talk about things, you know, because he'd get on that. You wouldn't know he was like that when he would minister. You would think, oh my goodness, you know, he's very outspoken, but he wasn't that kind of man. Praise God. And I used to get tickled at him a lot, you know, because he was the way he was. And amen. But it said, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. So put it on. Have a humble attitude. Put it on. Keep it on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Why? For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. That's why. Amen. Well, we know that that God is not going to put up with it. Why would Father have to put up with pride? See, pride is falseness, is what it really is. It's a false understanding about yourself, and so we have to put it down in us. Now, I don't care if you've been a believer all these years. You might have been a believer for 50, 80 years, whatever, 90 years. It makes no difference. Listen, you still got pride in that flesh, and it's going to try to raise its ugly head in you and me and you. It's just the way it is. And if you're down here below, you need to deal with this pride thing now. You do. Nobody else going to deal with it but you. And you sure don't want the Lord to deal with you about it. It can be a problem in a lot of interpersonal relationships and jobs and all kinds of things. Your heart attitude. Yeah. That humility is really important. Why? God resists the proud. Well, when you're talking to God, it'd be a good idea for you to realize before you even begin to approach him right. Respectfully, humbly, amen. It's just a heart attitude. You just realize, man, I'm who you're talking to here. And you're talking to the Almighty, you know, praise God. Amen. So we're to humble ourselves, you see. And be clothed with this humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So you can see that you're not going to get very far with God if there's pride present. You know, so humility is the doorway. And you can make those adjustments in you see. Yes, you can. Amen. Now, here's an old covenant, an Old Testament verse that the Lord wanted us to bring out here. It says, it's in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. That's Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. And it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Whew, boy, who inhabits eternity? The high and lofty one. Well, we all know who he's talking about. Amen. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Now you see, this is God talking here. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit. God talking there. And he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh boy, to revive, to bring strength and life and vitality. Amen. To the heart of the humble, to the heart of the contrite ones. Praise God. Well, man, I see I'm running out of time pretty fast here. I don't have a lot of time left. My goodness sakes. Well, we're going to continue on here next week. We're going to pick up right here where we left off in what happened to me. And we're going to talk about the three important elements in the seminars to come. So we hope that you'll come back and make it a point to join us next week as we go on down the road of faith a little farther and make some more stops, you know, and see what kind of goodies the Lord has got for us. Amen. Well, I just trust that today that something that we said here was inspired by the Lord that would touch your heart and help you where you are in your life and bring you into a greater understanding in a closer relationship with your Lord. And so that you can hear him clearer about more stuff in your life. Amen. It's wonderful. Hey, man, to live in this kind. And it affects eternal stuff to get in this place now. Not just material stuff, not just physical stuff. We're talking eternal stuff here. Amen. Because we're talking about other people and trying to help them to come to know the Lord in a clearer and in a better way. Amen. More intimate way. Praise God. Well, I'm all out of time, folks. So until next week, this is your friend, Ken Fletcher. And I want you to know that I love you.